What you've got is basically what I taught last week on page, well, it should be page 7. This is page 7, the tabernacle sketch. And then on the back is what I'll be dealing with here in just a minute. Now, on Wednesday nights, we're going to begin again word ministry. We're going to get back into an in-depth study of the Word of God. In prayer, the Lord has shown me again, and I guess it's all part of this tying up together, that, and it's even clearer now than it was then, but it's a part of approaching Him again. He is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if we're not seeking after His Word, then we're not seeking after Him. It's pretty simple. And what the Lord has shown me, what we've got to do in this fellowship is, again, get back into the place where we are seeking after the Word of God. That we want it into our lives, and we want to become changeable to that Word. Now, this, and what I've given you here is kind of one, it's a one page. I am in this book of Numbers, and I think I have so far written notes on the first 5 verses, and right now I have 36 pages. I mean, the reason I'm saying this is because I want you to see how I'm trying to get in here and get as deep as I possibly can, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to me about it. Now, what I do is I pray. I come up early in the morning. I love my morning times. I pray, and then I sit down and I begin to read and to listen and to study and to get into the Word of God and allow Him to minister to me. And then through me, I put this on paper. So what I'm trying to say to you is this should be from my spirit. This is what I'm asking the Lord to do. Now, on page, and if any of you were here years ago, we did a study on the book of Acts. It's a similar thing, except it would be a better format. My English is better also. I have a spell check and a grammar check, and it helps me a lot. But at any rate, if you were here then, you know the in-depthness that we did through the book of Acts, and lives changed. We also began one in Joshua. We never finished it. We got about the first 3-4 chapters. Then we came together with the church at Lafayette about that time, and later on we did a whole study through the book of Matthew. And when we got through the book of Matthew, we had a stack of notes like this, about this thick. I mean, and you're going to have a tremendous principles of God that will be a lot of stuff here for you to be imparted to you and to utilize in ministering to people. Now, on this page, what you have is the tabernacle. It's kind of what I preached last Sunday in approaching God. On the back side, you have 2 columns. On the left column will always be the notes. On the right column will be the scriptures that we're looking at. Okay? And it'll go all the way through like that. There'll be diagrams and artwork and all kinds of glitz and glamour to make it as interesting as possible. But that's not the point. The point's not that it's interesting. The point is that we're seeking His face and His power. Now, I want to add that because Lance ministered this to me yesterday. He said, you know, Dad, he's studying. He got him a new computer outfit, and he's up there putting it together, and he's doing a word study, and he's got into this thing about seeking God, and all of a sudden, yeah, he says, you know, we always say we seek His face. He says, but we seek His face and His power. How many of you want some power in your life? Amen. It's okay to seek for His face and for His power. So we're seeking His face, but we're seeking His power in our lives. By His power in our lives, we should change. And what the Lord has ministered to me over the past several weeks is that again, I think it was kind of summarized this morning through our time that what we have done is we focused so much on gifts and the target, the enemies, the things, and what He really wants us to do right now is set our tabernacle back up and get back in there in the Holy of Holies. How about singing that next week? Will you sing that, Passing Through the Outer Court? Okay. And isn't that one He sings? What is the one He sings? Yeah, that's the one. Will you sing that next week? Holy of Holies. That's the name of it. Okay, I want to share with you quickly. Look at the book of Numbers. Also, I want to have you a little thing like this, a little folder to put your stuff in. I'll try to have that here for you Wednesday night. We start Wednesday night. This Wednesday night. No mistakes. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, right here. Okay? And bring your kids, because also youth ministry is going on. And if we need to get a nursery going, then we'll deal with that when that point approaches. So we'll see what's there. If one or two children come, then maybe we can do something else. We'll not have to worry about a nursery. But come, and let's see what we need to do. Okay? Numbers, chapter 1. Last Sunday, I dealt with just really the first word of the book of Numbers. The whole message was then, or and. And what the Lord was showing us is that this time of the book of Numbers came about after it hooks up with and is attached to the book of Exodus, which was just now, 1 month ago, had just completed the tabernacle of Moses. And then the book of Numbers says and or then. And in actuality, the book of Numbers is a book that should never have been written. It should have been when the tabernacle was built. They should have stayed there until all those principles were worked into the people, loaded up, and moved the next month or so, moved into the land of promise. But what we have in the book of Numbers is a numbering of two people, and really the first people should have been the people that went in. And what the book of Numbers is sadly enough about is a group of people is let me start over. What the book of Numbers is sadly enough about is God waiting for a generation of people to die off, so that He can take another generation in. Now that's the summation of the whole book. And the reason that the Lord has me here and looking at this thing is I don't want to die in the wilderness, people. I want to go in. And I really believe the Lord wants us to. I believe He brought us out to take us in. And there is a promise, but yet and still I see so many Christians dying in the wilderness. Now how do you know if you're dying in the wilderness? Well, are you moving? Are you moving on through and to the promise? Are you set and camped and sitting still? If you're going to your promise, how many knows if they were right here on the other side or at Mount Sinai, that there was a several day journey. How many days was that? I can't remember right now. But anyway, there was a several day journey to get to the promised land, and they had to move to get there. Is this correct? So if we're going to the promised land, are we moving? If you're going to the promised land, are you moving? If you're sitting still, you're dying. Now hear it, okay? We've got to move. We've got to change. We've got to go on in God. Now, I believe that this is where, not this church, but I believe it's where the entire church is today. I believe that the church is not in the promised land. I believe for several reasons that I will go as we go through this, believe that the church in general is in the wilderness. It's in the book. Another name for the book of Numbers is the wilderness wanderings, wandering in the wilderness. And goodness, that establishes to me what sometimes my life is like. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Sometimes it seems like I'm wandering around, and I wonder about this, and I wonder about that. Huh? So that's one reason. Another reason, and I will get into this in more detail when we hit this passage, but the tabernacle is built and set up, and all the camps are around it. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, every camp has its flag, has its standard. Every camp that is stationed around here, and this is God's idea, by the way, and I'll deal with this when we get to this chapter. But God tells, I want these three camps here, and these three camps here, and these three here, and these three here, and I want the Levites camped around the tabernacle, and this is the way I want you to do it. Now, what I want you to do is I want every camp to fly their standard, which is a big old sign, and then every household to fly their banner. How many knows that across the street, there's a standard flying? On this side of the street, there's a standard flying. Down the road, there's a standard flying. Up the road, there's standards flying. And all around the things of God, there are these standards flying. Now this will continue until they go into the land. And they don't go in, hear me, no one person ever went into the land alone. At the least that ever went in was two. But when the nation of Israel went in, how many went in? Did just the church at Lafayette go in? All of them go in. And so when we go into the land, I'm promising you, there's going to be such a mighty move of unity of God across the church that we're going in and we're going to take it. We're not going to fly a standard, we're going to take the land. Big difference. Yeah, they still stayed there in their sectors, but it was land they took. It wasn't a sign they built. And hear me, it was God's idea. I've always blamed and said bad things about denominations. How many knows it's God's idea? And He's going to set you in that standard, in that camp, where you perceive and look at the tabernacle, the things of God, from that perspective. If you're in the camp of the church at Lafayette, what you do is you perceive and look at the things of God from basically our perspective. You with me? If you're a Baptist, you're going to look at them from the Baptist perspective. If you're a Methodist, you're going to look at them from the Methodist perspective. And you're stationed around this camp, around the tabernacle, looking at the things of God from that perspective. And we're in the wilderness, folks. Okay? But a day is coming, praise God, when the cloud's going to move, and we're going across this Jordan, and we're going to take the land. But what I want to learn is, how do we get the cloud moving? What do we avoid to keep from dying in the wilderness? And listen, I really do want to go into the land. And if you don't, if you're not going to move, that's totally up to you and God. But I hope, and my prayer is, that I live long enough to not be a Moses, but be a Joshua, because I want to take your kids in. Okay? If I said it, it wouldn't work, though. So I don't want to do that. Okay, here's my point today. Numbers chapter 1. Let's read together for the next 4 minutes. This is my principle is quick. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Who did he speak to? Where was Moses? Okay, where was the nation? In the wilderness, you can still approach God. I don't care what situation you're in, He is still approachable. You can be in your wilderness, but there's still a God to approach. And if you will go before God, as Moses did, He will speak to you. And the Lord spoke to who? Let's stop first of all with the Lord spoke. Do we have a speaking God? Does our God speak? From Genesis to Revelation, He's talking. We have a God that talks. He loves to talk. God talks. We had this is just so good. We had the service here, and we had at this time our sanctuary was turned this way, and the platform was up here. Had a mighty man of God up here. He's a mighty man of God. Loves God. But he was ministering to us, and he made a statement. He says, and it was because his theology, his camp, his perspective of the things of God is that God doesn't speak to us today. Okay? And his perspective was, man, it must be awesome to hear God speak to you. Now, I was sitting here, and I'm sitting here scratching my head, and I know this guy knows Scripture. He's written books. I know he knows the Scripture. But I'm sitting there scratching my head, and I say, now, I know Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, God speaks, and if you're a sheep, you should be hearing His voice. Now, it didn't say His goats heard it, He said His sheep heard it. My sheep hear my voice. So, our God speaks, and throughout the Scriptures, and we better learn to recognize the voice of God, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that the Lord Himself shall descend with the voice of the archangel. When God comes, He's shouting with the voice of an archangel, and we better be able to hear it. Amen. Good preaching. Our God talks, and that's not the message. I want to get on to something here that I really feel like the Lord would have me to share today. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of the meeting on the first of the second month. We're getting close to this month. We're getting close to our second month. I want to hear His voice speak to me. In the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying... Now, the principle that I just throw out here to you is it took them a whole year, or it took them a year to get this principle worked into them about approaching God in this tabernacle. It takes time, folks, to get it worked into your life where you approach God, where you learn how to approach Him, and you work it into your life that is a principle of your life. Number two, verse 2, take a census of all the congregation. How many? All the congregation of the sons of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' households, according to the number of the names, every male, head by head. Now that's what the NASB Bible says. Your King James or other translations are basically the same thing. Let me spell it out to you. What he says is, I want you to take a poll, a census of everybody. Read the next verse. It's for all those that will go to war. It's for 20 years old and older. Who is numbered in God's kingdom here? Who? Everybody say warriors. That's the principle. That's not my principle today, but that's the principle. He's interested in that you're fighting. And in the New Testament, we all fight. If you don't fight, then here and back in the Numbers, you're a woman, effeminate. Now just not some. How many knows in the spirit there's neither male nor female? You with me? In the New Testament, we are all told to put on the armor of God. We are all told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. Amen? In the New Testament, there's not male and female. What the New Testament wants is warriors. Okay? So there's all these things. You're immature. If you're not warned, then all these things that would cause you not to be numbered, there's some maimedness about you. You had some defilement of your spirit. But you're not numbered here with the warriors. How many want to be numbered with the warriors? Amen? Amen. And he speaks to the young men in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. He says, I now speak to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. You see, there is the maturity that the saints of God are to come to where we overcome, we war with, and we overcome the wicked one. Now, it's either die in the wilderness or war. I want a war. I don't want to die. Okay? Now, he says, number the warriors. Now, here's my point today, and I'll do it in 5 minutes. I can do it. Number, first of all, Israel, the nation. Secondly of all, it would be the Youngs. If I was being numbered here, the Americans, Youngs, Delbert's house, and then Delbert. You see that? Look at your Bible now. Make sure you see my principle. Americans, Youngs, Delbert's house, me, Lance, Bonnie, and Judy, and Brittany, and Heather. Okay, that's my house right now. Number them. And then Delbert. Now, and he says, number them that are able to go to war. Now, the ones that are numbered is the final person in that list. Not all of Israel was numbered. Not all Youngs were numbered. Not all of Delbert's house was numbered. Okay? It would be me and Lance that would be numbered in this particular, in our house. But then finally it comes down to Delbert. Are you seeing my point here? No? Okay, you will. Listen, I can't blame my fault on America. I'm numbered. I can't blame my faults on the Youngs. Now, it is important who my daddy is. And I need to have that heritage thing woven and worked into me. Most people do not know where they came from. But I really believe there's a principle here that I want passed on to my generations. I want Lance to pass it to his kids and Bonnie to pass it to her kids and Jody. What I want them to pass on is, hey, I want to tell you the story about my daddy. I want to tell you how God called him out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and how he brought him out and said, if you'll go, I'll bless you. You see, they are still talking about Abraham 1,000 years later. I want to leave something worked in and woven into heritage that makes them want to be godly like their granddaddy. It's important who your granddaddy is. And most Christians don't know where they came from and can't fight the fight and know that they've got this woven into their lives to go out and fight the fight. I want my kids to know, hey, you've got a foundation. I want my grandkids to know, hey, you've got a foundation. There's some things woven and worked into you that God did. But I can't blame what I am on my daddy. I can thank him for what I am. With me? Secondly of all, thirdly of all, it's not America. It's not the Youngs. I can't blame it. It's not my household. I can't blame my faults and my shortcomings on my wife. Hello. Or my children. Hello. Or even my relatives. Hello. Now, that ought to get us right there. Everybody say, oh, me. Oh, God. Listen, the majority of the things that we blame things on is our husband, our wife, our kids. America, it's because we do abortions. Bless God, that's why things are bad. And I'm not saying that's good. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. But I can't blame what I am on abortions. I wasn't aborted. Here's the principle. Don't hear me say something I didn't say. I hate abortions. God hates abortions. Okay? Now, I can't blame it on America, and I can't blame it on my daddy, and I can't blame it on my wife, or my daughter, or my son, or my relatives. Who's it finally going to come down to the numbering? How many says, I'm going to be numbered? Say it. I'm going to be numbered. I am. Listen, let me give you some scriptures real quickly. Give you some quick scriptures. You can write them down if you want to or just listen. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he talks about the new creation. Verse 17, it says, behold, I am a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things become what? New. Does that tell me now I'm a new person and I really can't blame on the past? I'm new. I got to go on. Sin no longer reigns. I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. God did that. He translated me. And Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6 will tell you that now we are not under the law, but under what? Grace. You're not under the law of sin and death, but you're under grace. God's rule in your life. In Matthew chapter 26, just jot these things down because I'm running, and you know I am. But in Matthew 26, Jesus institutes the communion, the Lord's table. And He says, "This is My blood of the new covenant for the remittance of sin." If you look up that word remittance, you'll find out that it means two very, very important things. First of all, it means pardon. How many knows you're pardoned from sin? The blood of Jesus doesn't atone or cover your sin. What the blood of Jesus does is wash it away. I've got this program in my computer, and it's called File Wipe. And buddy, when you hit it, it is gone forever. I mean, other delete mechanisms will delete the file, but it leaves a trace there. And if you've got a good computer system, you can go back and dig it up. If Brent was here, he could help you a whole lot more than I can about this. But with this file delete, man, it is the blood of Jesus. It is gone forever. Now, he, you know what? I'm going to say this. God has never come to me and talked and brought up my sin. Never. Do I remember God coming to me and bringing up my sin? You know who always brings my sin up? I do. I'm supposed to confess it. But anyway, it's gone. Okay? How many's glad your sin's pardoned? When you confess and you apply the blood of Jesus to it, it's gone. Amen? Watch out. That's good stuff there. Now, the second thing that word means is freedom. Pardon is number one. Freedom is number two. Not only am I pardoned, wiped away, the sin's gone from sin, but I'm also free from sin. I am no longer under the law of sin and death. I have been set free. I am now under the law of the grace of God. God moving in my life, God helping me, and I am set free from the law of sin and death. Amen? I am pardoned and freed. Sin does not reign me. When I sin now, as a believer, when a believer sins, it's because the believer decides to sin. It is not because you can't help it. And the devil didn't do it, you did it. That's look it up and see if I'm not telling you the truth here. So the blood of Jesus Christ comes and it does this to me. I am a new creature. I am old things have passed away. I'm in a new covenant. I'm in a brand new lifestyle. I have been translated out of this earthly realm, and now I live in a heavenly realm. I'm seated at the right hand with Jesus Christ. Okay? And I rule my life by grace. I can't blame it on the nation. I can't blame it on the Youngs. I can't blame it on Judy. And I can't blame it on anybody else, not even the devil. I'm the one that's numbered. How many knows God's already got the devil's number? Right? And He's got ours. Now, finally, winding it up, and let's close with this passage. If you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm done. No church tonight. Go to care groups, right? I want to read one verse, verse 10. I can't blame it on anybody or anything else. My moving with God has got to be numbered to me. I have got to understand that principle. When it's time to move, we move. There is a time to camp. But when it's time to move, we've got to know it's time to move. There's a moving, I think, continuously in my life, whether it's moving with the cloud to go to war and to the promise, or it's moving into the tabernacle to approach God. But I think I'm always moving. Verse 10, for we must all appear. We what? We must. This isn't something we get to decide on. We must all appear. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before where? The judgment seat of Christ. That each one, how many? Who's numbered? See, you're numbered. That, and one day, this is going to happen. Whether Jesus comes back before we go on to be with Him, or we go on to be with Him first. But no matter what, each one, every person, will stand before this judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. Now, what will you be judged for? The deeds where? In your body. Now, how many of you have been out of your body and sinned? How many of you have been out of your body and blessed somebody? See, what we do is in the body. Good and bad. And I think that's what this verse says, doesn't it? We're going to stand there for good and bad. Amen? So my point is that every one of us is going to come before Christ. Me. Now, listen, folks, it's not going to work that day that I say, it was that woman you gave me. What's he going to say? I got your number right now. Come on now. Hear me. You're standing. This is eternal stuff now. But it was that dumb kid. Oh, well, I'm pointing. It was my children. It was my stepchildren. It was my sister-in-law's kids. Hitting home, that's all. I got your number right now. Hello. Somebody say, that's good stuff. No, I don't like it, but it's good stuff. Say it. Okay. There's a day. There's a day, folks, when it's coming to you. It's not what America did. It's not what the Youngs did. It's not what Judy or Lance, Bonnie, Brittany or Heather did. It's not. Well, I can't stand there. I can't even say, you know, if it hadn't been for Roger Grimm, we'd have been fine. You know, I can't. There's nobody, folks. This is you and Jesus. And it's forever. And he says, you must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to that what he has done, neither whether good or bad. Now, you know, I've heard teachings where, boy, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be this blessed time. Well, he's going to reward you and all this stuff. Well, I hope I get some rewards, but it's both good and bad. I got to hear about it, buddy. And I'm telling you, it's me. The last place where God dwells, that mercy seat and the covenant of God, the Ark of the Covenant, there's no light back there, folks. It's dark. Nobody there but you and him. It's dark. There's light in the outside there, and that sheet I gave you in the outer court, you got sunlight, natural light. You see things in a natural perspective. In that holy place, you got lamp light. It's Holy Ghost light. You and the Holy Ghost and everybody else. But folks, when you get back here in this Holy of Holies, at this seat, the judgment seat of Christ, it's you and him, and it's dark. And our God is a consuming fire. It's hot back there. And everything that we've done is going to be set fire to, and the wood, hay, and the stubble is going to be burned away. And what we'll be presenting to him is what? Gold, silver, and precious stones. It's a time to approach God. It's a time to allow him to minister to us and stop blaming other people. It's a time to focus back on him. It's a time to come before him and say, God, I want you more than I want anything. I want you. Bow our heads. Lord God, as we go through this time of this book of Numbers, Lord, let us understand this principle that I'm either going to die in the wilderness or I'm going into the promise. There's only two ways to go. And the determining factor that determines whether I go in or whether I die is if I war. If I'm willing to go in with a heavenly perspective and say, they're but meat for us, or if I stand down here and I look up and I say, but we're but grasshoppers in their sight. Father, let us understand it's the warriors who decide to battle that go in. Oh God, let us be numbered in the army. Lord, minister this into our hearts. Lord, I look at my life and I confess I should have done better in seeking your face. I confess to you and to the people, I got so minded on where we were going that I wasn't leading the people to the presence of God. I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now, Lord, move in our hearts by your grace. Touch us, Lord God, and let us go out of here, not having come to church and had another message, another life-changing message. Lord, let this be life-changing. Let it change us, Lord God. We stop blaming America. We stop blaming our heritage. We stop blaming our wives and our children. And we stand before the throne of God. Say, Lord, you got my number. I'm going to change. I'm going in. Heads bowed. This minister to you today. It's touched your spirit. Not your mind. This isn't just good preaching. But something that you know has touched your heart and your spirit. And you know that you really do need to approach God. This whole service has been about this. You and God standing before him. And you know that there's an area of your...